always struggled in elementary school when he'd raise his hand because he knew the answer to a question and the teacher would call on him and he knew exactly what he wanted to say, but it took him a really long time to say the words. And so he really struggled with that. He was very quiet and shy and withdrawn and didn't have a lot of friends because he didn't have a lot of confidence, which this morning after the service at Rich Hill, one of the moms came through and she said, "I'm so glad you talked about that this morning, because my son had speech issues and didn't speak at all until he was four. And so this really was an important thing for him to hear other names of people who have struggled with the gift of speech." So what happened with young Ed Sheeran when he was about 8 years old, I don't know what his dad did for a living or how his dad became able to get this for him, but he was out somewhere and another person gave him a CD. See, Ed was an unknown, he was just 8 years old at the time, but his dad was gifted this CD by another up-and-coming young artist that many folks know by the name Eminem. You know Eminem, y'all know a few of you. Marshall Mathers is a rapper and goes by the stage name Eminem. And so somebody gave his folks this CD and said, "This guy is going to be really big." And so his dad was thinking, "That's great. My son can be the first one to have this music, and other kids will think he's cool, you know, because he was the first one to have it, and that might give him a foot in the door to be more social with the other kids." Well, I don't know if that part worked for him, but Ed Sheeran really liked what he was hearing on the CD, and he really enjoyed the rap music, and so he listened to it all the time, and he got to where he could memorize the words. And in practicing how to keep up with Eminem on his CD, he learned how to breathe, he learned how to get the words out, and he overcame his stutter by listening to another artist and emulating Eminem. Isn't that cool? And we would never know that Ed Sheeran ever struggled to speak. Some other people that you might know, depending on, this is where I say it kind of gets us into which generation we're from, because you may not know Ed Sheeran, but you might know Julia Roberts, Nicole Kidman, Tiger Woods, Winston Churchill, and Elvis Presley. And they all struggled with a stutter when they were young. They all had to overcome this obstacle to be able to reach the people they reach through their skills as speakers, as singers, as actors and actresses, and they all had to persevere. So I come up with kind of maybe three things that I learned just in thinking about Ed Sheeran and his difficulty that are the way that people are able to overcome obstacles. The first one I would come up with here is support. Had Ed Sheeran's father not been trying to find a way for him to be more social, he might not have gotten the CD that helped him to be able to speak. We need support of people around us who are trying to think of ways to help us grow and to be stronger. The second one I came up with was creativity. So like his dad, who came up with a kind of a unique way to get his foot in the door, who would have thought that listening to rap music would teach someone to talk? That's creative thinking, right? But he learned breathing techniques. The things that we have as common practices at some point or another were an experiment, weren't they? We were trying something new to see if we could be successful. So it takes a lot of support, creativity, and the third one, what do you think it takes to overcome something? Perseverance. Determination. Flat out not hearing the word can't. Right? The super funny, because I asked at Rich Hill today, what do you think when people says, "You can't do that"? What do you think when people says, "Oh yeah, I can"? The quietest woman in the very back pew this morning said, "Watch me." I loved it. But consider a time when you had to overcome an obstacle yourself, or when someone you love dearly had to overcome an obstacle and you were there watching or helping or cheering them on. It's especially hard right after a large surgical procedure to imagine overcoming the pain and all the things that are just going on. Endurance and strength is something that we have to lean into. And I remember when Sammy was just getting ready to walk down this aisle, for her wedding to H, and she had knee surgery. Do you guys remember that? That she had knee surgery right before that? And she had to relearn to walk. In order to, she said, I am going to walk down that aisle with no crutches and no help. I also remember that Sammy chose a really beautiful wedding gown at a real fancy store up in Kansas City, and something that had been multiple thousands of dollars was on sale for like $100 because it was a size 13. And she was never a size 13 her whole life. She was like a size 0 back then. So they were having to carve this dress down, and she would have to stand on this little podium while they were trying to get the dress the right size for her body. And I have pictures that kind of show the transition from way down here to standing upright as that dress was formed to fit her so that she could walk down the aisle. But I remember right after she had the surgery, and she was still groggy and not even hardly awake, and they said, you're going to need to bring her tomorrow for her first rehab. And I remember thinking, what? Tomorrow? You really think she's going to be ready to be here? She doesn't even know you're talking to her right now. She's got to come here tomorrow and start trying to walk. I remember wondering if she was ready, and by the next day, she was thinking, I don't know if I can do that. Sometimes others tell us we can't, and sometimes we worry about our own strength. But if we're learning to speak clearly or trying to recover to walk down the aisle, real strength doesn't come easy. That is the kind of strength that Paul was praying for in his letter to the Colossians. So as I said, we'll be in this letter for several weeks, and we are just at the very beginning here, the greeting to Colossae, and Paul and Timothy are writing. Paul is writing to the faithful Christians, and he commends them. I sort of imagine this particular part a little bit like the head of the PPR committee. That's you, right, Fran? And you're talking to, you have to write out that form every year to the DS. And it asks, what are some things in the life of your church that you can celebrate this year? We've all been on that form, right? And had to, oh, well, let's see. We have breakfast, and we have to write down all the things we're doing, right? And I sort of get the feeling in the front part of Paul's letter here that it's a little bit like that conversation with the DS. I feel like he has gotten a letter from, who is the guy's name that he names off here? I've said it multiple times today, and now I have lost his name. Epaphras. I feel like he got a form from Epaphras that celebrated the things in the life of the church. And so Paul starts out his letter saying, you know, I've heard really great things about you guys, and I've heard about the way that you love your community and you love one another, and you're doing the good work, and Epaphras has been one of the leaders in your community. And so he's already been told some of the good things that they've been doing, and that's why at verse 9 it picks up saying, for this reason we also have not ceased praying for you, because he is celebrating the stuff that they've been doing. And because you guys have been doing all this, we have not ceased in our prayers. But then he says, these are the things that we're praying for you. When we sit down for a board meeting, what's the first thing we do? We pray. What do we ask God to do? To lead the meeting, right? We want God to be the mind that we are listening to. So Paul sort of says the same thing, that he wanted them to be filled, to hear God's voice. So the first things first, we want God to be in our minds and in our hearts. So the first thing we do is we look for God's will. The second thing that Paul prayed for was that the community would walk with God. So the first thing we want to do is receive God's will. The second thing we want to do is direct our feet on his path. So he says we pray these two things. And then the third thing that he prays for them, he says that the believers were increasing and he wanted them to be strengthened with all the power of God. Well, here's a fun question for you. Two, actually. What would you do if you had all the power of God? Oh, gosh. Now, some of us are kind of like, oh, that's cool. Then that reality sits in and we go, oh, wait a minute. That's way too much pressure for me. Okay, Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility, right? Okay, if you had a superpower, what superpower would you want?
Fly.
I want to fly. Invisibility. Yeah, yeah. Then you can just be wherever. I was thinking it'd be neat to be able to just teleport. Then we could go to Wisconsin in like 3 seconds. But that would also go along flying, right? Reading minds. No, nobody wants to do that one. I don't really want to know what you're thinking about me right now. Okay, nobody wants to read mine. Remember Superman had the X-ray vision. You know, what power, bat, what's that?
I don't know if that would be so good.
That one could be weird too, wouldn't it? But it was really fun in the comic books. You could see right into the building and know where everybody was at.
And know exactly where who
was. Yeah, yeah. Superpowers are kind of fun to think about. But then I go, all the power of God, all of a sudden I go, wait a minute, that's a lot. Reminds you of that movie Bruce Almighty, which AI, by the way, told me, that's a really dated reference. You might want to reconsider that. And I'm like, oh no, I think more of us will remember Bruce Almighty than Eminem. Because right. Bruce Almighty was given all the power of God, right? And but what did he do with it, first thing? He was selfish with it, was it? He had all the power of God, but he didn't have all of the forethought of God. And so the first thing he did was things he wanted. And then he had all of the troubles of God because he started reading all God's email. And he said, say yes to everyone. Does that work?
No.
What if you guys are praying something and you guys are praying the opposite side? And you say yes to everyone. Somewhere, something gets messed up. If we had all the power of God, what a huge responsibility. Probably why then Paul said, first, be of the mind of God. Then be on the path of God. And then I pray for you to have the power. But he didn't actually stop at just power. I pray for you to have the power of endurance. Well, that doesn't sound like as much fun, because what does endurance suggest? That it's going to be long and hard, that it's going to be a struggle, that there's going to be times when things are not so easy. So he was praying that people would be in the mind of God, that they would have God's path in mind, but they would also know that this was not an easy way out. This was really just to prepare us to take on the things that wouldn't be so easy. And I feel like the way that Paul was commending them for all the things they were doing, things were going pretty well in their congregation. Things were good. But when things are good, either we're not telling each other about the struggles. That's like the fake Facebook that we are, right? Because they say you only see the smiles, but you don't see the struggles. So either they didn't know the struggles, or Paul was like, things have been going good for a really long time. Something's going to go wrong. And so you're going to need strength to get through it. Well, today we do similar things as to what Paul was doing for the people of Colossae. We lift one another's burdens. We go and help when someone's in trouble. And sometimes all we can do is lay our hands on their shoulders and pray like Paul did, that you would have endurance and perseverance for whatever is lying ahead. Paul's letter here and all of the information we get from these first 14 verses, this was just his greeting. This wasn't even the body of his letter. And yet, Paul tells us the key to unlock the power of God is in our prayers. He gives us a good model for how to pray for one another, to seek God's mind, follow God's path, and unlock the power of God's endurance. Paul prayed for the congregation to have strength to face the storms of life and to ask that they might have patience. Anybody in here struggle with patience? Everybody in here struggle with patience? Is it hard to be patient when you're charging up an EV and you just want to get on down the road because it's 2 a.m? It is. I struggle with patience. In the midst of struggle and in the midst of trying to find patience, Paul says, do so joyfully. When you're struggling to be patient, it's usually through gritted teeth, right? Not a real smile. Joy for the journey. Today we need the kind of power that Paul was praying into that congregation. Not a flashy power, but a faithful one. Not a fast answer, but a fruitful one. And not a superpower, but definitely God's power. So this week, if you find yourself in a situation where you think, I'm not strong enough, or if someone else tells you, you can't do something, I challenge you to pray a very simple prayer. Lord, fill me Lord, help me walk with you and give me your strength for this moment. Amen. That's the whole prayer. It's a really easy one. You don't need to harness God's powers. You just need to invite it into your life. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ways that you inspire us to love one another, to persevere when things are hard, to find joy in all things, even sometimes to make that smile go from gritted teeth to real. Lord, thank you for being so faithful to us. Help us to lean into you too. We love you, Lord. Amen.